that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thanks, Kurt. All right, so for all of those who are volunteering to be scripture readers, the bar's been set. You need to memorize the entire passage. So thanks for doing that. Good morning. My name is BJ, and I'm the lead pastor here at Adventure, and we are in week four of our series called Living Faith. And before we get started, I just want to welcome any guests that are here with us this morning. If you get a chance, I'd love to meet you personally, shake your hand, and even offer to buy a cup of coffee sometime. So just find me after service and say hi. This last week, my family was sick with the flu, and we kind of looked like this, and one by one, I was the last one to get sick, and I watched them all just kind of succumb to death and despair, and all except for my little infant, praise the Lord, he remained healthy, so that was good. But I just noticed that a lot of times when I get sick, and I'm sure it's similar to for you guys, but sometimes when I get sick, the world just looks darker. It just, like, everything just kind of falls apart. You know, any motivation is gone. You know, it just, all hope is lost. I was in our staff meeting, and I was just kind of sharing this with the other staff, and Jeff Hansen was like, oh, yeah, when I'm sick, I question everything that's good in my life. And I've actually made a resolution that when I'm sick, I will not make any major life decision. And I was like, that's actually a brilliant idea. So Thursday night is normally our date night, and Nicole and I decided that we'd still have the babysitter kind of take our kids. We actually brought them down to the church, and then Thursday night, we sacrificed our date night and went home and just cleaned and disinfected and tried to catch up. And after about 3 hours of the two of us cleaning, and even Johnny was helping us out, you know, we kind of sat down on the couch and kind of looked at each other, and Nicole looks at me and she's like, have we even done anything? Like it doesn't even feel like we've made a difference, you know? And we did. I mean, like, we had cleaned some, but there was so much more to be done. And so I kind of looked at her lighthearted, and I was like, well, you know, it's okay. Like, we can do some more this weekend, and, you know, we'll get more opportunity to clean up. And no, she looks at me and she goes, no, does it just feel like we can't catch up? You know, and I think she's talking about just the house, you know, but she's like, no, like, you know, the house and, you know, the food, like meal planning and, you know, budget and, you know, the kids and these other things that are going on. And she's like, sometimes I just feel like I just hit this wall. You know, it just feels like no matter what I do, I can't catch up. You know, I'm stuck. And I found myself, as I thought more about what she said, like, yeah, there's been times where I felt the same way. You know, times where, like, regardless of the fact that I know I'm walking with God, regardless of the fact I know the Bible says there's this abundant life, I find myself at times going, you know, is this it? Like, is this the abundant life that I know is promised in Scripture? Am I living it right now? As I look around in this messy house, you know, and I'm, like, constantly trying to juggle all these different things, I'm like, is this what is described? You know, is this the goal? Have we arrived at this? You know, but have you ever felt like that? Just that feeling of, like, no matter what I do, I can't seem to catch up. I can't seem to get ahead. You know, I think we all wrestle with that feeling. You know, maybe you're like Nicole and you're the busy mom that just can't get it all done in a day. Or maybe your kids are grown and they're out of the house, but you can't seem to shake that feeling that maybe there's something more. Or maybe you're the business professional that has been doing this job and kind of trudging through, and you go, is this it? Like, is this what I am meant to do? My experience here? Or maybe you're the single parent that just wonders if, you know, community will ever feel the same. Or maybe you've been carrying a heavy burden for a long time and you're wondering if you'll feel free again. Or maybe it's depression and you're fighting that. Or maybe it's this family crisis that you've begged and begged and begged God about to feel freedom, and you just go, is there a light at the end of this tunnel? Or maybe you don't even know God at all, and you're wondering if all this would even change that empty feeling that you have. We all have this story. We all get to this point in our life where we hit this dead end, and we look around and we go, this can't be it. There must be more. There must be more to this story. And I think sometimes we may come on a Sunday, or we may go on some retreat, and we get this reminder. We get this glimpse of a different life. You know, we maybe the message is about, you know, the hope that we can have, or we go on this retreat and we're reminded of who we are, and then we feel different and we go, that's right, there is more to life, and I can push through this roadblock, and we push through and we push that roadblock out of the way and we charge for a little bit, and then it's like all of a sudden it just kind of, before we know it, there's that feeling again. How did it get back here? Or maybe Sunday morning we go, all right, this is it. I'm gonna grab onto this truth. I'm gonna walk in it. And then Monday morning comes, and you're like, "Wait, what was the message about?" Don't worry, I do that too. Just kidding, I don't. But I spend a lot more time with it. But I think we get to this point where we run into these ruts, you know, and we begin to ask these questions: God, is there more to this? And why is that? Why do we get to this place where Even when we're going to church, or maybe we're even doing our quiet times, we're spending time in God's word, and it just doesn't feel it. It's hard to feel it sometimes. What is that about? This passage in James. James bounces all over the place. He's all over the place, as you heard. It seems like he's talking about one thing, and then he's talking about another thing, and then at the end he's like, oh, and by the way, take care of widows and orphans. You know, there actually is a cohesive theme. And I want to present it as this. When our faith is demonstrated by our actions and not just words, we will be blessed. When our faith is demonstrated by our actions and not just words, we will be blessed. I'm going to start in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." I love how he starts out with, take note of this. It's like, hey, pay attention. Hey, I'm about to say something brilliant and earth-shattering. Like, pay attention. Take note of this. Here we go. And he says, be quick to listen and slow to become angry. Quick to listen. I was thinking about this idea of being quick to listen. Nicole and I will often watch a movie or a show, and we have kind of like this TV room that's got this big L comfy couch in it with this huge ottoman, and I set up surround sound speakers with this big subwoofer, and it's this tiny little room. I mean, it's totally overkill for what we have in there, but it's awesome when we're watching movies or whatever, and there's been several times, I mean, this probably happens, I don't know, it feels like it happens all the time, but we'll be watching some movie or show, and there'll be epic explosions and rumbling in my chest, and Nicole will be like, hey, wait, hey, do you hear that? I'm like, yeah, I heard it, and I just felt it too. This is awesome, you know. She's like, no, wait, do you hear that? Can you pause it, you know, and I'll pause it, and I'll be like, yeah, what's up? She's like, oh, the baby's crying, and she'll get up and walk out, and I'm like, even with it paused, I'm like, how did she hear that? Like, I can't even hear him now, and there's no sound going on. You know, my ear's probably still ringing from the explosions, but it's like she is tuned in. You know, it's that motherly instinct. She just knows that frequency, that the moment he cries, it's like she can feel it inside. Wait, time out. He's crying. I'm going to go get him. You know, it's that idea, this, you know, when James says be quick to listen, it's not just about speed, it's about being attentive. It's about being quick. Our first reaction is to listen, to stop, to examine. You know, I think sometimes as a parent, I have this friend who has a, I'm sure some of you know him, but I have this friend who has a little boy, and he loves to just go on monologues. And he'll just walk around and be like, and it's like, it sounds like complete incoherent babble. Like, but every once in a while, you know, his dad will be like, oh yeah, he just wants some milk, or he just wants, you know, and I'm just like, how did you get that out of that, you know? And then I think about, you know, me as a parent. We had friends come over, and like Archer starts crying, and our friends kind of look at us with this look like, you know, are you gonna get that? Like, are you gonna go see what's the matter? And I just kind of look at him. I'm like, oh no, that's his fake cry that he only does when he's stolen a toy from one of his brothers, and his older brother came and stole it back. You know, and I'm like, just watch, he'll come down. You know, and then he comes down. He's like, eh, you know, and I'm like, oh, what happened? They steal the toy back? And he's like, yeah. You know, our friends just look at us like, how did you know that? You know, as a parent, though, right, it's like you just get tuned in. You know. Now, I could tell you what my kid sounds like when he's hurt, when he's really hurt. Every one of them. And I can tell you, I can differentiate between the kids. It's like, oh, yeah, that's this cry. That means, that, you know, they fell and hit their head. This one's a, it's when they're silent. That's when you're like, oh, no, what's happening? You know, but James is saying, be quick to listen, and in our situations, as circumstances come, as things are happening, we're quick to listen, not just, you know, like quick in terms of speed, but stopping to examine our situation. Examine, okay, is this the kind of situation that I should respond to this way, right? Because immediately he follows with slow to speak and slow to become angry. Our initial reaction is we respond immediately to whatever is coming in. And James is saying, no, the tone I'm setting for this entire paragraph is, no, stop. Stop. Settle yourself. Listen. Listen to what God's word says. Listen to the truth of Scripture. Listen, and then respond and act accordingly. And if we respond in anger, if we respond quick in what we say, it doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. That's what this passage is saying. Is he says there at the end, if we don't stop and pause and evaluate first how we should respond, then we miss and we're not bringing about the righteousness, the righteous living that God desires. And that sets the tone for this entire passage. So I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of the paragraph, and then we'll talk some more about it. This is James 1, 21 through 24. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted. So in this passage, James gives us three indicators of a genuine faith. First, controlling our tongue. Second, taking care of widows and orphans. And third, not being polluted by the world. Much of the purpose of this book and this paragraph is centered around demonstrating genuine faith through action. And so I think a lot of times we miss that because what James is saying is that we're too quick to respond. We're not quick to listen. We're not hearing God's word and allowing it to penetrate us deep in our core and then responding out of that. We just respond automatically to whatever different thing is coming at us. We respond to the situation. Here's a stress here I need to answer to. Here's the stress of the kids I need to answer to. Here's this. And what he's saying is, no, stop. Pause. Listen. Listen to what the truth of Scripture is and then respond out of it. Often I think one of the challenges is we forget who we are. We forget who we really are. And I think that's one of the reasons why we run into these continual ruts is we forget what God's word says about us. And that makes a huge difference. If we really believed what God's word said about us was true, not just, yes, in my head, but in my heart, I really believed that what God's word says about me is true, then it would change everything that I did. It would change how I reacted. It would change how I would respond. Consider these two scenarios. Option number one, or scenario number one, you wake up late. You have 5 minutes till you're supposed to be at work or wherever you're going. You have 5 minutes, and you don't have time to get ready. You're frantic. You run. You whatever you're doing. If you're a stay-home mom, you wake up to a disaster, and you have you're still in your pajamas, and you have to just address it, and you go through the rest of that day like that. If you're going off to work, it's that disheveled, comb your hair down on your way to work, and you're there. How do you arrive at work? Give me some feedback. How do you arrive? What state of mind are you operating in if that is your scenario in the morning? Okay.
Anxious.
Oh, yeah.
Stressed out.
Maybe some shame. Some shame? Totally. Embarrassment? Absolutely.
Frazzled.
What's that?
Frazzled.
Absolutely. I think for me, I always feel impatient. I feel like no matter what, I can't catch up. It's like I feel late to everything. I feel like I'm not prepared. I feel like everything is just, my outlook on the entire day is this day is terrible and everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong, right? Now consider scenario number two, right? You wake up to the sounds of birds chirping and the sun, wakes you up, which some people do that, I think. But it's like a restful wake up, not like a, I woke up at 5, what's happening? But a restful wake up. You have loads of time. You have so much time. You take extra time to get ready, to get dressed. You're good to go. Maybe you have a little quiet time. You eat some amazing breakfast, and then you go to where you're going. What changes? What's your perspective now? What was that? Peace.
Joyful.
Hope. What was that?
Calm.
Yeah. Prepared. Absolutely. Why is it that simple thing changes so much for us? Why is it that having that moment of rest changes our entire perspective? That's what James is pointing to, right? This moment of rest saying, hey, pause, stop. Take a moment to really put on, and I love this image that he goes into. He talks about a mirror. And I think about in those two scenarios, in one scenario, I have the opportunity to put my best foot forward. I have the opportunity to take time to prepare, right? To take a shower, to get cleaned up. I have an opportunity to basically take the beauty and the confidence that's inside and express it on the outside. Right, I mean, that's the reason why we wear nice clothes, why we get cleaned up, right? Is so that I can feel confident. I feel comfortable in the skin that I'm in. What I view about myself, now I can express that. Take for example, you're about to go out on a date. Option number one, you have, not a whole lot of stuff is clean, or you don't even have that many clothes. You have like one nice outfit that's kind of wrinkled, and it's a couple years old, and it doesn't perfectly fit, but it's the best thing you have, and you're going to roll with it, right? That's option number one. All right, option number two is you have brand new clothes. They fit you perfectly. You put them on and you are looking good. You know it. You know you're looking good. All right, where's your confidence level in those two examples? Right, when you're confident, when what's expressed on the outside reflects what's on the inside, it actually changes the way we view our day. And it changes the way that other people view us, right? If I am confident and I'm comfortable in what I'm wearing, then I feel confident and I radiate that to the people around me. And people can experience that. James 1, 22 through 24 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Why do we have a mirror? We have a mirror to examine ourselves, to make adjustments, to put our best foot forward. But this analogy that James uses actually describes kind of some ministries of the Word of God in our life. The first is examination, right? We look at a mirror to kind of examine, okay, what's the baseline? I just woke up, kind of groggy-eyed, I look in the mirror, how bad is it? You know, and then I can kind of, okay, we're good, you know? Next is restoration. So I examine myself in the mirror and I go, okay, what changes do I need to make accordingly, right? What do I need to do to like look my best here? When we look at God's word, we do the same. We examine to find the baseline. We examine God's word and go, where am I at? Where am I not aligned? You know, the ministry of God's word is that. It's this plumb line. It's this absolute truth that says, okay, I'm way off here. I need to make a restoration. I need to make an adjustment. I need to change my posture. And ultimately, the last is transformation. We do this so that the beauty that's inside us is expressed on the outside. Why do I change? Why do I change my behavior? Why do I change my life to match God's word? So that I look more like Christ. So I look more like the reality that's living inside of me. I've been chosen. I've been adopted. I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. I've been washed clean. That is the true me inside. And so when I allow the word of God to transform me, this metamorphosis takes place, this transformation, and what's really me becomes visible on the outside. I begin to look more like Christ. And that's why I love this analogy of the mirror, but I think sometimes we get caught up and we're like this person that James is talking about. We look at the mirror and we forget it. We look at the mirror and we say, oh yeah, God's word says that I'm chosen. It says that I'm adopted. It says that I'm absolutely loved with an unfailing love. It says that I'm provided for. It says that I am an heir to the throne of the King of Kings, a co-heir with Christ. Those are the truths that it says. And I go, yep, that's good. And then I don't live my life accordingly. I don't put that identity on in a way that it actually transforms my actions. And that's what James is focusing on in this entire passage. He's saying, no, if what God's word says is true about you, it should transform you. Your actions should change. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are transformed in the sense that our outward actions begin to look like Christ. How different is this than our regular life where we go to church or I study my Bible? I think James 1:25 gives us a different picture. It says this, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it will be blessed in what he does. We'll be blessed in what he does, but how do we get that blessing? There are several things in here that are listed to get that blessing that are different from just staring at the word of God and then walking away like we're looking in a mirror and forgetting, right? Here's what he says. He says, first, looks intently into the perfect law. So we have to look to God's word. Second, continue to do it. Continue to do it. Continue to go back to those truths, not forgetting what he's heard. We can't forget it. We that's why we have to continually go back. And here's the most important part, but doing it, because he will be blessed in what he does. He will be blessed in what he does. I think going back to those places, those times in our life where we go, is there more? What am I missing? What is this barrier I keep running into? Why do I keep feeling overwhelmed? Why is my life reactive to all these different circumstances? We get to this place where we're asking those questions, but the answer that James is saying is this. The blessing comes from the doing. The blessing of God's word comes from the doing. It comes from the application of this. It comes from taking God's word, allowing it to soak in deep, and then functioning as if those were really truths in our life. And in order to do this, we have to continually go back to God's word. We have to remind ourselves of those promises. We have to claim them daily and then step out in them. And we have to stop and say, okay, I'm going to be quick to listen. I'm not going to respond to this immediately and react out of anger or react and just open my mouth and go that direction. I'm going to stop. For example, if I know that I am perfectly loved by God, I'm perfectly loved by a God who will never leave me, he'll never abandon me, his love is unfailing. If I know that, if I truly know that in my heart of hearts, then what should well out of me is a love for other people that gives freely, because I know that the perfect King of Kings knows me. He loves me. So I can give freely, even if people don't reciprocate that as well as I want them to. Or if the God of the universe, who created everything, promises to be my provider, to support me, to meet every need, if I know that absolutely true in my life, then I should shower other people with gifts and generosity, because I know that the ultimate provider has my back and he's promised me he will never fail me and that my needs will be met. Or if I know that my chains have been broken, I've been forgiven, I've been made righteous by Jesus Christ's sacrifice, then I should freely offer forgiveness to those around me, because I have received the most amazing forgiveness. Or maybe closer to home, if I truly am an heir to the throne of God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ, if the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, the Holy Spirit, lives in me, then I should have the boldness, the power, and authority to pray with my wife, to do warfare in my home. Or if Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love my neighbor, then I should know my neighbor's names. My friends, we have forgotten who we are. It's not an absolute statement. There are times we remember, right? There are times where we walk in it. There are times where we go on retreats and we claim it. And so often that happens because of the action. And every retreat we go on, it's like, okay, here's the truth of Scripture. Now take some time to apply it. Here's a quiet time. Here's an action step, right? It's when we do God's word, when we put it on, that we receive the blessing of God's word. We receive the transformation when we don't just listen to it and walk away. And so much of these powerful, powerful truths are available for us, and we forget them. And so James presents to us this amazing answer to this wall we keep running into. He says this: be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to become angry. So the next time that you're asking, all right, what is the deal? What is this barrier that I'm running into? I want to encourage you to ask this question. Ask God how he sees you and how he wants you to act on that today. Remember who you are. Remember that you are a son or a daughter of the High King. Remember that you're not a slave. You're not a pauper walking around in rags. Your Father in heaven loves you. He chose you. He adopted you. He has provided for you in the most amazing ways, and he wants to bless you. But the blessing comes from the doing. So Jesus, help us to remember who we are and help us to overflow out of those truths and take action on it, right? It's easy to love my neighbors when I feel loved. It's easy to take care of those in need when I know my needs are met. But we forget that. But imagine how things would change if we lived that way. Imagine if all the truths of Scripture were internal. We didn't just look at the mirror and walk away, but we said, yes, Jesus, I know that I'm provided for, that I'm loved. How would we be as fathers if we felt loved and respected by our true Father? We really knew that. Or as mothers, if we knew that we We're deeply cherished by a father who really sees who we are. Or as parents that knew God's grace was alive and active and working in us and through us in every interaction. How much more grace could we offer to the people around us? Or how would we be as neighbors if we truly believed that the King of Kings and Creator of the universe loved me enough to pursue me and loves my neighbor enough to pursue them? How would our city change? How would our world change? Can you imagine that? If you woke up in the morning and we stopped and we actually said, yeah, the Bible says that I should put on my armor. What if I did that today? What if I stopped? What if I went back to that journal that I had? What if I went back to Scripture and I just read those verses that said who I am in Christ? And I didn't move on. I didn't go on with my life until I believed it. And that might be quick. You might go, okay, I'm locked in. Or maybe we just need to spend a little bit more time going, okay, Lord, this is the truth. This is the truth. I'm putting it on. I'm making a decision. We are to remember who we really are. And James says we demonstrate that by how we speak, how we take care of those, how we take care of those in need in our community, and through our righteous living. That's the demonstration of our genuine faith. If I really believe those things about me, then those are natural things that will overflow. I will speak more lovingly. I will love those in need. I will give more freely. I will live a life that honors Christ, that looks like him, because I'm allowing God's word to transform me from the inside. And the beauty that's within becomes expressed on the outside. Some of you guys know that I'm on the board of Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds is a local women and children's shelter here in our community. And many of Adventure's members actually work there on staff. But the reason that I agreed to be on the board at Acres was because, honestly, largely because of this passage. Because as I looked around in my community, I went, who are the people in need and how can I be involved in helping support them? And as I begin to examine, what could I do for the women and children that are homeless in our community? What could I do for them? How could I reach out to them? You know, how could Adventure be involved in that? I began to realize that here is this amazing organization at Acres of Diamonds that is meeting people in a way that we just don't have the resources to duplicate. We don't have housing for all those families. We don't have all the resources and social care and counseling available to take care of them in the way that they can. And if we were to reproduce it, we're talking about tons of resources. So I said, how can we partner with this organization in reaching these people? And so the mission of Acres is very near and dear to my heart, and what they're doing is amazing. And it's remarkable how many women and children's, how many families' lives have been saved because of the ministry they're doing there. And I'm excited to be a part of it. And the reason I share that with you is because I want to invite Cassidy and the worship team up. Cassidy Jones is, she has been part of American Heritage Girls, which is one of the ministries we have going on here at Adventure. And I think I'll let her share, but one of the things that has gotten me so excited as I learned of this opportunity is the opportunity to see the beauty that's inside Cassidy being expressed through this amazing project and demonstrating her genuine faith. I'll let you tell her about that.